Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Jujutsu Kaisen, the series this time. But before that, we talked about me being sick, some other life events happening, and Rick also kind of undergoing some changes in his life for the better at that. If you want to catch a part of that wider conversation, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. And if you choose to support us through other means, you can go to shop.featuredanimepodcast.com, or you can use the affiliate link that we have in our show notes, and you can buy the part one of Jujutsu Kaisen season one. And if you use that link, we do get a little bit of a kickback, and it would be very much appreciated. And now on to the meat and bro-tatoes. Jujutsu Kaisen came out in October 2020, and it ran all the way through March 2021. It's 24 episodes long. Producers for it are Toho Animation and Tsumzap, just to name a couple. The studio for it is MAPPA. It's based off of a manga. The genres for it are action, fantasy, shonen, and supernatural. And it was a solid animation. So the premise of it is you have our main character Yuji, who's basically ungodly strong for being a teenager as a kid, and what ends up happening is he's a part of an occult club that takes this finger, this basically artifact, and they're going to try and undo it. So what ends up happening is that finger, when they undo the seal on it, when his occult friend members undo the seal on it, they accidentally release the cursed energy that draws all these spirits to it, and they start attacking him. And Yuji, as a result of his friends almost dying and him trying to keep these curses from devouring the finger, in effect, actually devours the finger himself, which causes him to be a vessel for the cursed individual Sukuna, who the demon Sukuna, who is known as the King of Curses. And they do state that basically all the curses can be traced back to him, and that he's the creator of all of them, hence why he is called the King of Curses.
See, I didn't gather that, although it makes a lot of sense. I thought he was King of Curses simply because he assimilated so many curses that, just like with all water, any glass of water you drink, a dinosaur peed it out, that kind of thing. Like, he was so in, he any curse had a connection to him, kind of like a 6-degree thing where this knew this, knew this, knew him kind of thing, or this got power from this to this that originated from him. So I didn't realize that he was the start of all the curses. I thought curses were always there, but I thought that he became the strongest of them all and influenced so many, he became king that way.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, from watching it, from what they said that all the curses can basically be traced back to him, and that he's a demon called Sukuna, and he is known as the King of Curses.
So how did he start then? Like, obviously, I'm asking questions that the anime doesn't really
answer. Yeah.
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 But like, it goes back to the God paradox of, like, if God made everything, then what made God? So if he made the curses, then what made him? Like, was he a primordial curse? That kind of thing. It just, the way that you explained it makes sense, but it opens up way more possibilities as far as thought processes go. you know, like more questions than answered kind of thing.
Right. Well, I mean, they don't exactly go into a lot of detail about it.
Mm.
Right. They just kind of give you bare minimum, bare necessity details, and they don't go into to really in-depth stuff simply because I feel like later on it will be answered, and that makes sense. And trying to tell you all that information up front is going to be kind of pointless. Now, they do in the series kind of touch on how curses are created and everything like that. And honestly, even though you're quote unquote supposed to watch the series first before the movie, they make in the, especially the first few episodes, they make so many references to the movie that it may, to me personally, it made more sense to watch the movie first, because now I had that reference that they were talking about. And they did specifically state what happened to Utah, right? From the movie. Mm-hmm. He's out of country right now. He's out there visiting. He's not suspended. He's out there visiting another country right now and traveling. So they immediately say where he's at. So Maki is the one that says, yeah, he's currently visiting another country, because they're talking about an event that's going to happen in the series. They said they need other people there to kind of fill in. And normally it's second and third years that do it, not the first years, but Yuta's out in another country. And the only other and the third years are currently suspended in terms of strength. Mm. So they have to get the first years on board for it. You also kind of really delve into like the story for each character a little bit. And so each one gets a little bit more fleshed out where they give you more information. So like they didn't give you really much information for Maki in the movie. Well, they give you more information on her in the series to help flesh that out. They do the same thing for Panda, and they do the exact same thing for Toge, who the voice user. They give you more information, and they actually give you the background for Panda, so that way you're not left like completely wondering like what the hell is going on. And so I feel like the movie was a wonderful, it was a great foundation for the series, and it helped expand and develop what was going on.
100%. Now, the only thing I didn't like, because I watched the show before I had seen the movie, and all of the character development, in hindsight, having the ability to have seen the movie and then the show again, it makes a lot of sense why the character development was so lackluster in the movie, specifically regarding the students that we are aware of. That's mainly because, like, if you rationalize it, the development you've seen and witnessed and the growth you've witnessed in the show hasn't happened yet, and it's probably not going to. But it felt very repetitive and stuff like that. But when you look at it in the lens of you're supposed to watch this, then you're supposed to watch this, it the natural progression makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I thought that in addition to the regular show, or in addition to what the movie provided of people having the potential to be just straight kick-ass to introduce first years who are damn near godlike, you figure Yuta is, he's on a different level. He's a special case, let's call it. And then you've got our second first year just completely wipe the floor in terms of
Are you talking about the movie or the series? Because Yuta's...
A little bit of... Okay. Yuta's in the movie.
Yes, correct. Yeah,
and sorry. I was jumping back to the series, so I was basically saying that since they're both first years and they're both outclassing, they're not first years?
Yuta is a second year.
Oh, he's a second year now.
He's the second year in the series.
Oh.
That's why I got confused. So don't try, if you're going to specify, man, try to stick with one, man. Try to stick with one. Don't merge.
Wait, so does that mean that in the series, I thought in the series Panda, the voice user, and then
their second years. That's why they were going to the event. They're second years. Yuta is a second year, but he's in another country. And then there's a third year, but the third year is suspended.
Correct. So that's where my confusion was. I thought in the movie they were first year and then everyone else was second years, but they're all first years in the movie.
Yeah, Maki, Toge,
yep,
and Panda are first years in the movie in this series.
Gotcha.
They're second.
I thought they were years. Second years theirs.
No. Okay.
That makes a lot of sense. Never mind. So in that case, never mind. My words were basically faulty from the beginning.
Yeah. It's okay. We understand. I mean, like, it's how it normally is.
Hurtful. But what I'll transition from that to say something to the effect of, you know, at least one student in every year is utterly and dramatically overpowered. And since we only have the one first year here, then yeah, that'd be him. And then Yuta's the second year. Have we seen the third years yet?
No, because again, they were suspended. I don't know how else to say it. They're suspended, bro. they ain't there. They're gone. They're not there. You won't see them.
I'd like your opinion. Do you think they grade up in terms of schooling? Like if you pass this, you get to be, you know, 11th, 12th, third grade.
No,
they grade up in power.
No, they grade up in terms of ability and how much they improve.
So would it be possible for Maki to gain a grade above everybody else, even though they're technically the same year?
Yes. Did you not watch the end? Did you not watch the last episode?
No, of course I did.
Okay.
I thought it was a ceremony where everyone of the same thing. Okay.
They were. So we're going to skip to the very end. All right. Just so I can help clarify this. At the end of the series, at the end of season one, Yuji, Nobara, and Megumi, all three are first years, and they're being recommended to be first class, right? Mm-hmm. Then you also have Maki, Toge, and Panda also being recommended to be upgraded to a first class, right? They're all first years are being recommended to be a first class, and then you have the other ones that are also being recommended to a first class, right? So the grade at which they're at makes no difference, because if you remember from the movie, Yuta, who was just admitted in a year one, was a special grade, special class. Okay. The grade at which they are is no matter. It just is in terms of what they're being taught that's going to matter the most. So when they're done with their first year, they're moving on to the second year. So they're going to learn other things and they're going to further improve beyond that.
So grade and years are not connected at all.
No, they're not.
That's where I was making my mistakes at then. So, okay, let me try to clarify this a little bit. My question is, you know how in our world you can skip a grade because you're smarter?
Right.
And they do that here, do you think?
No.
Okay. That's kind of what I was going for. Like, if you walk in your first year, you got a second year, obviously they've got seniority. I was wondering if you could become a third year before they became a second year, and that you answered the question with a resounding no.
Correct. Yeah, no. They are going for a when their grade or class is upgrading has strictly to do with their ability. So like Maki in the series, they specifically state that she even though she's a grade four, right? Class four, whatever, in terms of who she is, her abilities are far beyond that. And they say Gojo tried recommending her and getting her to at least be a second grade. However, her clan keeps getting in the way and preventing her from that. She's a second year Jujutsu High, but her class is only four, despite her abilities for it. So in order for you to rank up, and they even reiterated this again for another one when Kento or Nanami says to one of his counterparts saying, if you take care of this for me while I'm gone, I'll put in my recommendation for you to be a first class or semi-first class. You know, it's based on their abilities and how much they've grown. So it's not that they can't increase their ability. They can totally increase their ability. And if they increase their ability, it has to be someone that's not close to them. So Yuji can't, or sorry, Gojo can't recommend Yuji or Megumi or Nobara to be a first class. It has to be someone else that gives that recommendation, which is why also at the end you see Gojo sending money to someone else who's he's basically paying them off to say, I want you to recommend them to be this class. Because that's the only way that he can do it.
That makes sense. And I guess where my confusion lied was I'm used to, of course, in our world, grades are the grade you're in rather than the year you're in. So that's where I made the confusion. I was asking, can you advance a level and can you be held back?
So
can you like be,
yeah,
not necessarily in grades, but in years,
right?
Can a year two be downgraded or held back from a year three where everyone else keeps going up?
Right. And the answer is no, because she was a grade four. Maki was a grade four in year one. And in year two, she's still considered a grade four. But she,
gotcha. So they're not connected.
No, they're not. It's entirely based on talent and skill level and everything like that. And their overall power.
So this is going to sound kind of weird, but as a crossover, you know how Guy from Naruto, Guy's father was always a genin? Considered to be one of the strongest genin, but still a genin. I would laugh my butt off if someone just couldn't progress, but they kept gaining knowledge, but they just couldn't gain a year or a level.
Right. Well, totally.
Oh. Now, do you know if there are any people who, anybody in this anime, that intentionally held back their progression? Like themselves are like, I'm capable of this, but I haven't learned enough yet. So I'm not comfortable going forward either in grade or in year. So I'm going to consolidate and fortify my foundational understanding before I take the next step.
What?
So they're going to school to learn, right?
Yeah.
And do you think there'd be anybody in this anime who would intentionally hold themselves back from advancing so that they can gain a better understanding of a concept of sorts?
No, the only person that that intentionally held back was Megumi, but it was more so because of his own moral or internal conflicts that he had going on. Not necessarily because he wanted to learn more, but because he basically kind of gave up before that point even was reached.
I gotcha. That would make sense. Now, going into a little bit more of what I'm happy about, and I'd like to know your opinion. Gojo's power. I loved how they explained everything. They were able to tell, you have your own little world and things like that. But your world is going to be far different than mine, and their world is going to be far different than theirs. And I liked how they were able to power scale the demons. So technically, or the curses, if you will. And they're like, yeah, there are curses out there that have found themselves a way to become stronger by consuming others or becoming, or actually, I'm not quite sure if there's any other way to get stronger.
What do you mean?
Like you have different levels of those curses. Some are on the level of Gojo, right?
Right.
How do they get stronger? I think it's like a natural, strong eats the weak kind of thing.
Are you talking about like the actual curses?
Yes.
I mean, like, I would assume that they continue to feed on cursed energy and gain strength like that.
Okay, so they don't cannibalize. They go to other sections that
they gain.
Either way,
yeah. So, either like,
I was happy.
Like how they kind of explained it, right? Some of the what's one of the most some of the most powerful and sentient curses are natural disasters because or afraid of natural events. And so this is kind of solidified, right? With when Gojo is attacked by one of those curses, one of the natural event curses, which is a volcano, right? That's he gained natural, and they do talk about this, and they say he was like, he gained so much strength because there are so many people that are afraid of that particular thing. That's how he was able to grow and be strength and have basic sentience beyond that. Same thing for the human one, right? It was a curse that looked like a human. And the reason why is because of how many people hate, despise, and are fearful of other humans. And that's how he's able to grow and be strengthened from it. And they continue to grow and strengthen beyond that when they learn and understand and are able to to grow beyond that.
So, interesting thought. Do you think there could be a gun curse?
I would assume that there's a curse for everything.
Well, that okay. So, off of that, the king of the curses, everything gets drawn back to the king of the curses, right?
Yes.
Everything can be traced back there. How would we... My curiosity would go to the origination of those natural disasters, those natural curses. Can you still trace those ones back to him?
Yeah, you could be probably because he was the creation of curses.
So he'd be the curse of curses.
Yeah, he is the king of curses. He is the ruler of curses. The name literally states that he is the ruler of all curses. Everything could be traced back to him. That he probably created the curses to begin with.
I understand that. But I guess what I'm saying is he would gain strength because people... If natural disasters gain sentience and power because people are afraid of that, right? If he would be technically the curse of curses, like he was born of the fear of curses kind of sort of thing, and everyone's afraid of the curses,
he would gain so much strength. They specifically state that he is a demon. So I don't think he was created from curses. They said he's a demon.
Well, crap. I guess I skipped that part.
I even said it at the beginning.
Well, I just like when they said it, I assumed he wasn't a true demon. He was like a demon. He was akin to a demon. He wasn't an actual. But if you're saying he was an actual demon, then all my theories are out the window.
Yeah, because you have to remember something. Curses. Normal curses disappear once they die. They don't leave behind physical manifestation.
Where he did that, that's true. And that opens up a whole other can of worms. Holy cow. Yeah. This series has vast potential.
It does. Especially if you pay attention.
Hey. Even in the sub, it said like a demon. At least that's the way I read it. That's the way I interpreted it. I could be wrong, but yeah, you have a point. Curses dissipate once they're destroyed, and there are fingers left behind here. Interesting. And it goes even further. How the hell is our main protagonist able to consume and contain this evil?
They don't know. They just know that he is a vessel. Now, it could be because he shares a lot of similarities between him and the other one, minus the two extra arms.
Minus the two extra arms. Yeah, that's a little bit of a distinction.
Right. But I don't know. They don't go into details about it. I feel like we'll probably get more information, more details later on, maybe in the second season, because there is a second season that's going to be coming
absolutely.
Out. But I feel like those answers won't be answered till later on, simply because they're not going to hold any bearing or weight right now for it.
Mm. Well, that makes sense. That makes a hopeful kind of sense, but it still makes sense. So, is there anybody, not anybody, was there any character in here that stood out to you as being underutilized?
No.
Really? Not even the panda?
Panda was utilized perfectly for it. It wasn't meant to focus on him, so there was no need to overutilize him. They gave us more information for it. Same thing for Maki. You got more information and gained an understanding for it. You gained an understanding and details about even characters that weren't pivotal to what was going on, but you gained an understanding for them and you got a little bit of a background for them to kind of help you understand where they're going with it. So it wasn't a matter of being underutilized. You got information. You got the exact amount of information that you needed for everyone. You didn't need to know anything beyond that.
Okay. I mean, you're not wrong, but I don't know. I just felt personally like the transformation abilities that the panda has, granted, he's a corpse already, but.
Well, it's not, he's not a corpse. They even specified that. Like, technically speaking, he's not a corpse.
What is he then?
He's. Bro. No,
I was under the impression that he was a reanimated corpse that they stuffed into a panda suit. That's why when you stab him, he gets fluffy. Was
made by the principal. They even specified it. Like, they showed it. He's like, you have brothers and sisters, and they're inside you. You have multiple cores. While he's considered a corpse, he's not really a corpse. He's a stuffed animal that was created by the principal to be unique, and he poured emotions into him and poured other things into him. Like they went through the whole background for it too.
Oh no,
like,
they did.
Explained and it.
And that's why I thought that there were multiple corpses. Like it was a conglomerate of different things stuffed into a stuffed animal, kind of sort of. And that's why he was able to take on different transformations and stuff like that. And I was like, I wonder how many, you know, how many options we have here. How many, how far can you take it kind of thing?
Right. Well, how they are animated is they pour cursed energy. He pours cursed energy into them to make them, to create them. And the type of cursed energy that he pours into it is different to based on each one.
So every core has the ability to contain different energies, or
are you talking about? So Panda has three different cores. Each one has a different type of energy and strength poured into it.
Okay. It'd be kind of interesting to see what the limit of how many different cores you can have. Imagine you take it to the utter and just stupid extreme of every fiber in that is woven together to create the Panda was a different core. Ugh, nigh unstoppable at that point.
So,
but that's just me dreaming.
Yeah.
Which one had the most unique abilities, do you think?
What do you mean?
Like Gojo, in my opinion, with his ability to alter space and to a lesser point time, I feel like was far more unique, let's say, and almost one of a kind-ish, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, everyone basically has their own unique jutsu. Not everyone's identical.
No. Well, not identical, but like I feel like cursed energy focusing around wind or earth or fire or water, like, are more common. Right? He has a time and space. In my mind, he has a time and space affinity.
Okay.
So my thought process was the way they explained it. Good.
His is considered an infinity. Like his cursed energy is called infinity around him. He even says that when the volcano cursed was trying to attack him. It's like, you didn't touch me. You touched the infinity around me.
Yeah. So it's still just very confusing then.
Yeah.
Because everything and anything and everything again. Oh, there's still potential there. I figured the way that they were able to explain it in the show kind of showcased what he did in the movie. I realize they're still separate and stuff like that, but I liked how they fleshed out a lot of the questions that we did have for the movie were answered here, and a lot more were created here, obviously. But with a second season coming, there's hope.
yeah. Honestly, though, I aside from like the obvious training arcs and things like that, which are seamlessly put in there, right? It's not like they do it in a weird or unusual way where it's like, oh, we're going to take this entire thing and you're going to focus on this training. It's like, no, they integrate it into the series or into the episodes seamlessly. So that way you're not losing any time for what's actually going on. And you gain more story and more understanding about everything without it detracting from what's actually happening.
I agree. I 100% agree with that. It was done incredibly well. I hope the quality stays at least similar, if not better, in the next few seasons. Well, next season at least.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I really don't have too much more. What about you?
No, I'm right there with you. I don't have too much more I could really say about it other than the animation for it was really well done. I really thought the animation was done well. The music that was a lot for it too was also really well. It fit really well. It wasn't overpowering. Didn't just detract from the anime at all. It was a very well done series, and it is something that I am glad that I actually watched.
I concur. I agree. The only thing I really wish that would have happened more personally was more background into abilities. Because if he was considered to be the king, I really wish he showcased a little bit more than just raw power.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got.
So on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
This one, at least for me, is going to be a nice solid 7. Something I definitely watch again. Something I would encourage people to view. So 7.
Okay. And any particular reason why you're not going higher than a 7? I mean, like,
there's a lot of stuff that I didn't like about it.
Like,
Well, the explanations didn't really make me feel like Yeah, they answered some, but they really didn't answer. It didn't answer everything I was hoping it would. That's really my only gripe. Like, I didn't have enough information. What about you?
Like
on everybody, like all the questions I was asking you.
Like the ones that I was able to answer?
Yeah. Like, yes, you answered them. And yes, when the way that you made it sound is correct. But
I mean, all I did was regurgitate. Man, I'm telling you, dude, you need to find some better cliff notes.
Spark notes.
Spark notes. Sorry. Spark notes.
Man.
Yeah, all I was doing was regurgitating exactly what the anime had talked about and what they had said. So it was there. I
wasn't picking up what they were laying down.
Exactly. Which is fine. But so you're a 7. I'm going to go with a 9. Yep. I'm going to go higher.
A 9?
I'm going with a 9. It was great. I would recommend it to everyone. In fact, I know a couple people I'm going to recommend it to. I am really excited for a 2 that's going to be coming out. The quality was just there. I have no real complaints for it in terms of that. I do hope that we get some more details and things like that kind of fleshed out for it, which would be ideal. But other than that, I don't have too many complaints for it. Music quality, animation quality, story quality, all of it was really great. All of it was well done. It's just, they definitely just kind of like hinted at things that are going to be used much later on. And so I'm really anxious to see how it all plays out, how it all unfolds for those in 2. I don't have anything else really to say. What about you, sir?
I'm just surprised you did it so high. This is a complete and utter role reversal from what I'm used to.
Right.
But as far as the show goes, it's a nice solid 7 for me.
Okay. Well, next week, it's going to be a movie, and it's called Drifting Home. It was a random choice that we're going to be watching, so I know nothing about it, really, other than it's a movie. If I actually remember correctly, CJ from Anime Anonymous did actually watch it. They did do a podcast on it, and...
Shout out to them.
So we'll see if our views actually kind of align with what they have. But that's all the time that we have for today. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did it too much justice, not enough justice, feel free to reach out to us and let us know. All our contact information and everything like that's available to you in the show notes, or you could go to our website, featuredanimepodcast.com. We also have a link in there where you can go and submit your recommendations on what you feel like we should watch. And if you want to support us, here's some of the pre and post show content that we usually do. You can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. Or if you want to buy yourself some swanky swag, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. Or if you want to buy, again, the series that we were talking about today, we do have an affiliate link for you in the show notes. You could go to there. It'll take you to Write Stuff Anime. And if you purchase anything using that affiliate link, we do get a little bit of a kickback. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time with another finger-licking good anime.